This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
And we are back on the podcast. Chris Graham joining you here on Street Knowledge. I've been trying to figure out the best format for a podcast. You know, I've been going back and forth, interviews. I love all kinds of styles of podcast. I love, you know, the long format interview. There's a great wrestling podcast with Jim Ross, another one with Colt Cabana. They do these long interviews. They'll go over an hour with their subjects. And, you know, when you're on a long drive, those can be great to listen to. They're the ones that are the more traditional, quick hitting kind of things, like that Tony Kornheiser Show podcast. They'll do segments that go from 10, 12 minutes. I've done lots of radio shows in the past where that format is acceptable. There's to Rush Limbaugh, where it's Rush Limbaugh pretty much in a little studio by himself talking for, with little breaks for 3 hours and giving you his thoughts. So, you know, I've been going back and forth and back and forth, and I've decided that, you know, I end up ideologically not in the same realm, but the Rush Limbaugh format's probably the best one for me. It's just, you know, and we'll throw in some shorts, I'll call them, I guess, when I do some interviews with folks. We'll put them up as sort of extra podcast, if you want to say. I did a couple last week like that gentleman from the Three Redneck Tenors. I talked to a comedian who's got a show coming up in Charlottesville in a couple of weeks. And we'll throw those up as extras. But I think the bread and butter, the backbone of this podcast is going to be just me talking to you. There we are. So Street Knowledge with Chris Graham was back. We're revamped. We're calibrated. We're all ready to go. Here we are. So today's show is going to be, you know, we're debuting this new format, yet another new format, on a weekend. So we're going to call this one The Weekender. It's going to talk about some things coming up, appropriately enough, right, this weekend. And I think I'll start, actually, I have some notes over here, and I'm going to go off my script already. I'm not even 2 minutes into my first new podcast, and I'm going to go off script. The Wayne Theater in Waynesboro, if you live in and around Waynesboro, if you're even an hour drive away, that can include outskirts of Richmond, down to Roanoke, up to Winchester. I'm being a little tight with the circles there I'm drawing, but Xanadu, the musical, is debuting tonight. Now it's got to run 3 nights this weekend, 3 nights next weekend, so you got plenty of chances to see this show. But Xanadu, the musical. And yes, it is based on the film Xanadu from the, I think right around 1979, 1980, starring Olivia Newton-John. I remember the Xanadu soundtrack. It was an 8-track tape that I had to listen to a lot on my way back and forth to my grandparents' house. My grandparents on my father's side lived more than an hour away. So most Sundays we were in the car driving, listening to 8-track tapes. And it's kind of funny. 8-track, you kind of associate with the 70s music. You associate a lot with, say, for me growing up, a lot of Creedence Clearwater Revival, Lynyrd Skynyrd, but there was also that disco revolution towards the end. I remember some Bee Gees being part of that mix, and then the Xanadu soundtrack. I remember listening to Xanadu an awful lot going back and forth to my grandparents' house more than an hour away. And so, yeah, the Xanadu musical, Roller Skates, a musical on roller skates, I guess they're billing it as. And a guy named Hank Fitzgerald, who's a great, very talented director and producer. He'll actually be a part of this cast, too. Great local and regional cast at the Wayne Theater putting this show together. They've been working on this for months. And so if you're so inclined, and tomorrow night now, Saturday night, if you're listening to this podcast, Saturday night, there's actually an 80s dance party after the presentation of the musical, so you won't want to miss that. But yeah, lots of opportunities to see Xanadu the musical again starting tonight. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each of the next 2 weekends, and you won't want to miss it. I'm gonna make sure to get out to one of the shows coming up. There's so much going on that might be next weekend for me before I can get out there, but I definitely want to see that now. So next, talking about all the busy schedules here locally. So the Wayne Theater in Waynesboro's got Xanadu. Waynesboro High School, if you're a regular here in Augusta Free Press, you know that I've been promoting like crazy the last couple of months. The Night of the Superstars, Awesome Wrestling Entertainment, a company we have worked with much over the years. We helped put on a pay-per-view, a live TV pay-per-view 6 years ago, back in 2011. In some ways it doesn't feel like 6 years ago. In some ways it feels like yesterday, but 6 years ago, we helped put on a live in-demand pay-per-view, you know, available on cable systems and satellites across the country, across Canada. We did that right here from the Waynesboro area. Well, Awesome Wrestling Entertainment's back, and it's putting on a fundraising show for the UVA Children's Hospital, and the show is tomorrow night. And those on the card include guys like WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons, another WWE Hall of Famer Barry Windham, former member of the Four Horsemen, former WCW World Champion. Simmons was also a former WCW World Champion. We got Magnum TA, the legendary Magnum TA. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He would have been. He had a terrible accident in 1986 that left him paraplegic. He was on his way to a run with the, at the time, NWA World title. He was a star of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, and, you know, life changes in an instant. In his case, it certainly did. But he's going to be at our show. He's a Virginia native, and we're glad to have Magnum with us. We've got Kid Cash. Kid Cash, the guy who grew up here in the Waynesboro area, actually spent, he went his freshman year to Waynesboro High School. He is coming back. He's been out of wrestling for over a year, training MMA and training other MMA fighters. And David, we'll call him, because David Cash actually is someone we know well. He'll be wrestling, at least he's billing it as his retirement match. We'll see. I think he's got the bug back, too, so we'll see how that goes. But Kid Cash is part of the show. A guy named Jamin Olavencia, former Ohio Valley wrestling champion. We've got Hornswoggle from WWE fame. And we've got a triple threat women's match with three up-and-coming women's wrestlers, Danny Ferreira, Casey Carlisle, and Savannah. We've got a tag team match for the AWE Tag Team Championships involving the Ugly Ducklings, this very unique tag team taking on the Platinum Enforcers. And so we got a great card. Sanjay Dutt's going to be part of the card. And now here's my dilemma. So I talked about all the stuff going on this weekend in the Waynesboro area. This weekend is packed, right? So I have been involved with the show. My work with AWE dating back to 2011. I was hired to design a website. We eventually helped with marketing. We eventually worked creative with a guy named Doug Ward, who is the founder of AWE. Helped write the pay-per-view. You know, somebody's got to do it, right? You know it's scripted. I'm not talking out of turn here. Sports entertainment, right? So you know that it scripted. Me, with my background in writing, 20-plus years as a professional journalist, award-winning journalist and author and everything else. So I had the privilege and honor and distinction of being able to help write the 2011 pay-per-view. And we've written up a nice show for tomorrow night. I am so much looking forward to, you know, seeing what we've put together. Here's the problem for me. I won't be able to see it, at least live. We got a crew, Rob Feinstein from RF Video. Rob, one of the founders of Ring of Honor Wrestling back in the early 2000s. Rob will be there. They're going to film the show, they're going to put together some commentary afterwards. And actually, we're going to sell this as a DVD. That's what I'm going to have to watch, because I've got some duties with ESPN this weekend. And so I'll shift gears and talk about my work with ESPN. Actually, if you're listening to this on Friday, when the podcast originally goes online, opening of the series is tonight. VMI Baseball, Virginia Military Institute, hosting UNC Greensboro, first of a three-game series, and we're covering all three games. I'll be joining Wade Branner. I am the color commentator on these broadcasts, and I'll be joining Wade Branner, who does the play-by-play. For this three-game weekend series in Southern Conference action, and this is our second series of the year on ESPN3, my second season now with ESPN, doing college baseball in the spring. And, you know, this is something that for me has been a lifelong goal, is to be able to do broadcast work on a national level. And for me, baseball is my first love. You know, I love all sports I've done two seasons now of play-by-play on the radio for VMI football. I did six seasons of play-by-play baseball for the Waynesboro Generals summer team with the Valley League, one of the more prestigious summer leagues, summer college baseball leagues affiliated with Major League Baseball. I did that for quite a while, and in fact, back-to-back championship-winning seasons. I got to do a championship call in 2014 as the Generals won on a walk-off in an elimination game for both teams. Lots of fun there. But the ESPN chance, really neat opportunity for me. And the hard part is, again, you know, this wrestling show opportunity came up after I'd already committed to this spring schedule with ESPN3. So, yeah, you know, things happen the way they're supposed to, I suppose. And so we're talking college baseball a lot this weekend. First pitch tonight, if you're listening on Friday, is at 6 p.m. And then on Saturday, a 6 p.m. start as well. This is all weather permitting, but I'm looking right now outside my window, and I see sunny skies here in Waynesboro. We're about 45 minutes north of Lexington, where the games will be played. I'm looking forward to some good weather today, tomorrow, and the weekend. It'll be a little chilly for May, but certainly opportunities to play the games this weekend. And then a 2 o'clock start on Sunday. So if you're a college baseball fan, even if you're not, just tune in for an inning or two, and you get to listen to me talk some more. And specifically about college baseball. So that's coming up for me this weekend. And I've got a busy schedule the next few weeks, actually. I figured it out, 8 games in 14 days. 3 games this weekend. Next week, I'll be doing my first game on the road for me, big time on the road. UNC Greensboro has a couple of us coming in, me included, for a one game Friday night with the Citadel in Southern Conference action. So ESPN3 broadcasting that game. I think that's also a 6 o'clock start. And then the following week, I'm back up with VMI on Tuesday, a home game with JMU, and then a 3-game series starting on Thursday to conclude the season, the regular season, that is, for VMI. So 8 games coming up for me in the next 14 days. Looking forward to just a lot of fun. This is going to be, you know, I love baseball. I love being able to talk about it. And I guess I get my fill coming up this weekend. And I've talked about Xanadu, three-game series there too, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Wayne Theater. I talked about the wrestling show coming up tomorrow night. Please, if you have a chance, tickets are still available. General admission only, though. All the ringside sold out last week. But $10 general admission tickets are available. You can get them at officialawe.com. You can get them if you live locally. You can get them at Shules in Waynesboro, Stanton. Today, you can pick them up at Waynesboro High School. You can, assuming they don't sell out, and tickets are really moving fast, but assuming it's not sold out by tomorrow night, there will be tickets at the door as well. $10, and you get a chance to see all those great wrestlers. So, busy weekend. I thought I'd finish up the podcast. You got to throw some things in. Let's talk healthcare. I'm sure if you follow the news at all, even if you don't want to, you hear things, right? Yesterday's big vote in Congress, in the House of Representatives specifically, regarding the American Health Care Act, Trump Care, as some folks are styling it, just like the Affordable Care Act got styled Obamacare. After a failed effort back about a month ago, when the House of Representatives ruled by Republicans, you know, majority Republicans, couldn't even get a vote because they were sure that a vote would actually lead to a vote against the Trump Care Act. This time around, on Thursday, a vote was held and a very narrow victory. It was to victories. 217-213, the American Health Care Act passes the House. Now, question, what does that mean? If you're out there listening, you say, hey, they just overturned Obamacare. It's all over, right? No, far from it, in fact. And that's the lesson about, you know, I don't get to use it very much these days, maybe good in a way. I do have a degree in constitutional law dating back 23 years now, right? One thing about our constitutional system is that, yes, the House of Representatives voted yesterday. Now the Senate has to vote, but they don't have to vote on the Trump Care Act specifically. They certainly could. They could take the exact bill taken or passed by the House yesterday. They could just throw it right in there and vote on it themselves, and that would be easy. But that's not how Congress works. It's never how Congress works. We've already seen some indications, some specific mentions by Senate Republican leaders. The Republicans have the majority in the Senate as well, indicating that they're going to start from scratch with their own health care bill. And Lindsey Graham, among the leaders of the Senate Republican caucus, saying that they were concerned that the vote in the House came about maybe too quickly. There were a lot of changes to the bill from March when it failed to even get a vote to yesterday when it got a positive vote that weren't properly scored, in their opinion, by the Congressional Budget Office. And what that means is There's a nonpartisan budget office that will look at the impact of legislation. And basically all legislation goes through this process. Budget impact, impact on various sectors of the economy, whatever the case may be. The CBO did not get to formally weigh in on the Trump Care Act that actually passed yesterday in the House. And so Senate Republicans have said, and of course a number of Senate Democrats have said, that that's not going to fly. They're going to take a lot of consideration into account. They're not going to rush a bill through basically for political purposes. And so the Senate is likely to just go through a subcommittee review, a committee review eventually, and then eventually get to the full floor with legislation that you have to presume is not going to look much like what the House passed yesterday. And it's not going to be something that ramrods through. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have President Trump in a signing ceremony killing Obamacare. Likely what's going to happen is the Senate's going to pass some sort of legislation that will repeal Obamacare in some respect, but it's going to look very different than the House version. Then you're going to have the House weigh in on the Senate version. That's likely what's going to happen. And we'll see then if the House is a – even though the majorities for Republicans in both houses, the House representatives and the Senate, are relatively slim. I think it's a 23-seat majority in the House, which has 435 members. I'm going to say it's a 4-seat majority in the Senate. These numbers are coming from my head. They may be a little off. But basically, that's close. I mean, it's close on either side. It doesn't take many Republicans flipping to throw things off. We'll see how the two so the House is a little more conservative than the Senate. The Senate tends towards moderation. The rules are so different, the way the two work and everything else. You're going to see, the bottom line is what you saw yesterday was just one step in what's going to be a relatively lengthy process. Then you throw the wild card in. So this vote happened yesterday. And then President Trump meets with the Australian Prime Minister and says, Australia has a great healthcare system. I'm not sure, and nothing against President Trump. I'm not sure that he knows all the details of everything that goes on around the world. I'm not sure if he knows all the details of Capitol Hill at this point. He's still a neophyte when it comes to politics. But, of course, Australia has a single-payer system, universal healthcare system, which is not at all what Republicans run on. They don't want a single-payer system. So I'm not sure if he realizes that he said Australia has a much better healthcare system than the United States. He was praising a universal healthcare system, which, of course, is what I would love to see. I think a lot of liberal Democrats would love to see. Actually, I think whether you're a liberal or a conservative, you know, to me, a universal healthcare system just makes sense. Take the profit motive out of healthcare. Right now, we have private insurance companies out there managing essentially the delivery of healthcare services by doctors who actually perform the services or offer their expertise and that kind of thing. But you've got a layer of bureaucracy in the form of health insurance companies that have a profit motive. So not only do the folks need to be paid, but they need to make a profit for their investors. Whereas if you are so worried about government-run healthcare, well, at least there's no profit motive in a government-run healthcare system. So you're automatically going to see costs go down. We see that across the world in the other industrialized nations that have a universal healthcare system. We're the only one that doesn't have one. And I think it puts us at a competitive disadvantage from a business standpoint. We still rely on businesses largely to provide health care in the form of health insurance to their employees. That's why the Obamacare was such an important thing for those businesses that can't afford, small businesses, for employees who work part-time and don't qualify for benefits, and a number of businesses put people classified as part-time because they don't want to have to offer those benefits. You know, there are a lot of people who are obviously left on the outside looking in. And then for those who aren't, a lot of those folks have health care provided by their companies. It's a cost of doing business. If we just made it part of the federal government system, just like you pay into unemployment insurance, you pay into Medicare, you pay into Social Security. If you just made that another pay-in kind of thing that we all paid for, businesses wouldn't have to offer that as an extra incentive. And perhaps then, in my opinion, I think it would clearly make us much more competitive on the international economic scale because businesses in industrialized countries that have universal health care don't even have to worry about that as a consideration, a cost of doing business. We're kind of putting one arm behind our back from a business standpoint by not having universal health care. And we're doing it for political purposes. We're doing it simply because that seems to be something that Democrats want to do, Republicans don't want to do. And that's not the reason to do or not do something for political purposes. That we, I know I'm sounding like Mr. Smith goes to Washington here, but you're supposed to do the right thing, at least sometimes. This is one area where I would love to see us strip out the partisan, love to see us strip out, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, we should see things differently. Just do the right thing. And maybe, who knows, maybe yesterday was a step in that direction. I would say that, you know, the reaction of both parties doesn't reflect well on either one. You had Republicans hastily leaving Capitol Hill, House Republicans hastily leaving Capitol Hill for a celebration in the Rose Garden of the White House, with lots of beer, lots of big smiles, everything else. Optics are bad with that. The optics make it look like they're celebrating 24 million people, according to estimates, early estimates of the impact of this. 24 million people are going to lose their access to health insurance because of the if the bill that passed yesterday would go through into law, which again it's not likely to go through in the exact format. But if it were, 24 million people lose health insurance. Hey, let's have a big party. that's the optics from the Republican side. The optics on the Democratic side, not great either. As the Republicans are leaving for their beer bash at the Rose Garden, Democrats serenade them with chants of the na 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 na, hey hey goodbye, basically saying that, you know, this healthcare vote by House Republicans and the optics of celebrating it the way they did are going to make the 2018 election cycle very favorable to Democrats, and it makes it more favorable certainly, but you know, I don't know that you spike the ball until you actually get in the end zone. And I think that's what Democrats may have done yesterday. They may have had a premature celebration over a first down around midfield, and they still got a few more to get before they even get in the red zone, much less get towards the end zone. So not a great moment again yesterday for our political process, but we've had quite a few of those in the last, oh, I don't know, a couple hundred years. So we've talked healthcare. We've talked VMI ESPN baseball. Again, I will be part of the broadcast team for VMI baseball this weekend on ESPN3, 6 o'clock Friday night, 6 o'clock Saturday night, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon matinee. The wrestling show, Night of the Superstars, tickets still available. Awesome Rescue Entertainment, Night of the Superstars at Waynesboro High School, Waynesboro, Virginia. Saturday night, bell time, 8 p.m. Meet and greet starts at 5 for those who have ringside tickets. If you're just getting general admission tickets here at the last minute, you can still go meet and greet the wrestlers starting at 6:30. Chance to meet guys like Ron Simmons and Barry Windham, Magnum T.A., Kid Cash, Hornswoggle, Jamel Avincia, Sanjay Dutt, the list goes on. And then bell time, 8 o'clock. So, and it supports a great cause, UVA Children's Hospital. And then Xanadu at the Wayne Theater. If ideally, let's look at it this way. Xanadu starts at, I think it's at 7 o'clock. I don't have those notes in front of me. I'm going off script here. Xanadu starts at 7 o'clock. The baseball game starts at 6 tonight, right? So watch me for an inning or two on ESPN3. Head on over tonight, then to Xanadu. Okay. Then, on Saturday, you've already seen Xanadu. You loved it. Watch me another inning or two, 6 o'clock start on ESPN3. Then head on over to the wrestling show. You can do the meet and greet at 6:30. So you can even watch me on Watch ESPN on your phone. You know, pay attention to the road. Maybe have somebody else drive you. And then you get to the meet and greet at 6:30. You meet and greet the wrestlers. You then get to watch a show starting at 8 o'clock. And then on Sunday, hey, you know, I'm back on baseball. So you can have an AFP-themed weekend with all this great stuff going on. A lot to take in. And then in the meantime, you know, celebrate the fact, hopefully for your sake, that you have health insurance. And if you don't, then at least this healthcare vote doesn't impact you yet. Anyway, so we will leave it at that. And we're going to do these podcasts 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And this is the first, the Weekender edition of Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Signing off, I am Chris Graham. Have a great weekend, everybody.